Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is always good to be in the house of God. Amen. 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 You may be seated. And I've got a really weird sermon tonight, but before we get to that, I want to say I want to give honor to Pastor and Sister Thompson. And this is just my personal opinion, but I think it's probably a safe guess that probably the most important event that ever happened in the history of this church is when Pastor and Sister Thompson decided to come to Orange Park. This transition that we're in right now, moving from this location to the Madera location, is probably the second, as a church-wide, second biggest event. Now, I haven't been here that long, so I could be wrong, but in my short span and what I know of churches and the history, my brief knowledge of the history of this church, this is probably one of the biggest things that has happened and probably will happen. Moving from this location to 30-some thousand square foot property, and it's very exciting. But nobody has told me anything, okay? I'm just kind of understand how a few of these things work. I'm sure there's been some headaches. I'm sure there's been some unexpected issues that have arisen as we have gone, as we're in the midst of this physical transition. And so I was wondering if this week, and nobody asked me to do this either, if I could get some volunteers to pray for a half an hour each day for our pastor and his wife and our leadership, everybody who's working over there, whether they're making decisions or physically washing and scrubbing and doing electrical work and yard work and you name it. There's more work than what we could probably wrap our brains around tonight. Would anybody commit with me to pray for a half an hour each day for our leadership, for our pastor and the rest of the church leadership? Because they need strength physically, emotionally, spiritually. They need strength. This is a it's not easy what they're doing, and I wish I could do more. Unfortunately, time doesn't always permit it, and I know there's others that feel the same way. But we want to lift them up in prayer. We want God's help in everything that we do. Amen. 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 I also want to say I'm thankful for Brother Josh and Brother Cox and Brother Colin. Paul had he had Gamaliel, who he learned from, and he had a Timothy that he poured into, but he also had a Barnabas that was his peer, and Barnabas was a son of encouragement, the Bible says, and these guys encourage me, and in each one in their own way, I really appreciate over the past year, like Brother Colin said, getting to know them a little bit better, and the encouragement and that they've given me. And I want to give honor to my wife tonight because she is one of the most amazingly talented people I've ever met in the entire planet. And she's a fantastic mom, and I don't know what my life would be without her. And I love her very much. We celebrated 17 years. Now, I was a smart guy in the fact that I got married in 2001. So whatever year it is, I just subtract one, and that's how long I've been married. So I always know how long we've been married. And so it's been 17 years in November, and she's put up with me, and pray for her. She's put up with me for 17 years, and I don't know how. But anyway, I should probably get to preaching here in a few minutes, or we're never going to get out of here. And I told you it's going to be a weird. I didn't even give the video people my information because they wouldn't believe me. But I'm going to preach for a little while on the topic, when it feels like Jesus is a jerk. Now, that title may offend some people, and you may not like that. So I came up with an alternate title. Okay? Oh, and you know what, folks? I have 2 pages of notes. And my wife will tell you, anything over a page is way too long. So y'all are going to have to pray it. We're never going to get out of here tonight. But I have an alternate title. If you don't like when it feels like Jesus is a jerk. On occasion, the visual and auditory input to the human brain creates an emotional awareness that concludes, whether directly or indirectly, that the Lord and Savior of all mankind, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, either permits or creates certain issues, events, or circumstances in one's life that cause pain, harm, or other malfeasance to said individual, physical, emotional, and or spiritual well-being. That's the alternate. If you want that one, go with that one. If you can remember that one, God bless you. But you know, there's times in Scripture when it looks like Jesus was kind of a jerk. He called the woman who wanted her daughter to be healed or be delivered from, he called her a dog. That really wouldn't go over very well in 2018. It would be all over Facebook and Twitter. In the book of John, chapter number 9, there's a man who's blind. Now, you got to think, Jesus, his fame was spread throughout the land. They knew, they'd heard that people had been healed of blindness. In the book of Matthew, he walked up and touched a guy, and boom, he was healed. In Mark, he touched somebody, and he says, I see men like trees walking. And he touched him again, and boom, he's healed. So all it takes is a touch, and I can be healed of blindness. But in John chapter 9, they start off with a theological discussion. Now, is he blind because his parents sinned or because he sinned? And I'm sure he's thinking, I don't really care. I just want to be healed. I just want my sight. And so Jesus does not, he touches him, but after he's made a couple of mud balls and he spit and he puts him in the guy's eye. I mean, can you imagine you got mud just draped on, dripping off your cheek? And Jesus tells the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The Bible doesn't tell us where the blind man is and where the pool is. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Can you imagine? I just want you to touch me and heal me. But no, you got to put a mud pie in my face, and I've got to grope around and find a pool. I can't see. What is Jesus? What are you? Come on. Just touch me. Give me my eyesight. Why am I going through this? I don't know why I was born blind and everybody else was born with sight. That kind of wasn't fair in the first place. And now I'm going through all this garbage just to get my... That would have been my attitude probably. This guy's much cooler than me. He's much nicer. So he goes and he washes in the pool and he receives his sight. But then it doesn't end. I mean, he's worshiping and praising God. Woo, I got my sight. This is awesome. And the Pharisees drag him in for an inquisition. Who healed you? How did he do it? What happened? I mean, just question after question after question after question. And probably after a while, he's thinking, maybe I need to go back to being blind again. Get me out of here. And finally, the guy's fed up and he says, listen, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know. I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to Sunday school. I'm just some guy who was blind and now I see. That's all I know. Amen. And because, well, that even looks weird in print. When it feels like Jesus is a jerk. I don't know. But I'm glad I'm healed and I'm glad I have my sight. Peter said in 2 Peter or 1 Peter 2 and 8 that he was called the rock of offense. That he could be offensive. When you look in the book of Matthew chapter 11, you've got John the Baptist in prison. Now, can you imagine the day John baptized Jesus out in the wilderness? I mean, the heavens open up. And the Spirit descends like a dove. I mean, it's a big day for John. This is the pinnacle of his ministry. I mean, you know, he's getting selfies with Jesus, you know. It's going on Facebook, you know, hashtag baptized another one. You know, it's just, I mean, it's, this is it. Because after that, his ministry goes downhill. Guy gets thrown in prison. And it's not prison like we have prison. He's not getting a cotton three meals a day. He's in like this nasty, dank cave that I don't know what he's eating. If he gets to eat, he probably doesn't have a bed at all. I mean, there's a Middle Eastern prison in the years, you know, or roughly 30 AD. It can't be that great. And he's so frustrated. And John is so... His followers are now following Jesus. Andrew used to be one of John's disciples. Now he's following Jesus. He gets his disciples and he says, listen, go ask Jesus and say, are you really the Messiah? Because, man, I hope everything I did wasn't for the wrong guy. I did not plan this. I did not expect to be in a prison for doing what God asked me to do. It's easy to get offended with God sometimes, folks. And so they come to Jesus and they say, well, you know, John wants to know, are you really the Messiah? He said, you go tell John this. The blind are receiving their sight. The lame walk. The gospel's being preached to the poor. And man, they've got the message and they're all so excited to go tell John and give him this word of encouragement. And Jesus finishes with one last word. Hang on, guys. Hang on, and tell John this. Blessed is he who's not offended in me. John, you're my cousin. You're my flesh and blood. I mean, literally. And I know, and Jesus in his omniscience, he knows it is not going to be long before a vindictive woman who has a daughter who's dancing lewdly in front of a bunch of perverts gets John's head on a platter. Amen. Jesus knows this is going to happen. That was God's plan. Folks, there's times I don't understand God's plan. There's times it frustrates me and it keeps me up at night and I don't like it. And sometimes we want to get offended because it feels like Jesus has kind of been kind of a jerk. But he knows so much more than what I know. He understands what I don't understand. And he sees what I don't see. And Jesus gave us a word in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 6. He said, blessed is he who's not offended in me. If we go to the book of Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 165, this is my text tonight. Had kind of a bit of an introduction there to get there. I told you this might be long. You might want to, I hope you brought a lunch. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I've got a word from the Lord that there's blessing in not being offended in what God does, in what I don't understand. Folks, have you ever gone to the hospital and prayed for somebody and then they were gone within 24 hours? I don't mean they checked out of the hospital. It's like, God, I just went and prayed. And I mean, there's times you just don't understand. God, why do I hear stories of missionaries in Madagascar and you've got tumors falling off and my family members dying of cancer? I don't understand that, God. And there's times it's easy to be offended in what God is doing or what he allows and what he permits. The things that we don't understand, the things that we can't wrap our brains around. There's times when it's easy, and that's why Peter said he's the rock of offense. But I've got a verse in Psalm 119:165 that says, I can have great peace. I can have great peace if I love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So if I want to make sure I don't get offended at God, then I need to love his law. This is, if you get this, you get what the Lord laid on my heart for the church tonight. If I can love his law, then I'm not going to get offended at what God does. And this is nothing. I won't get offended at what my boss does, what my clients at work do, or what the guy in the traffic who cut me off did. If I learn to love His law, if I learn to love the Word of God, if I hide this Word in my heart, then I might not sin against Him. If I read it, if I study it, if I memorize it, if I understand it. Sometimes there's precepts in here that they're hard to wrap our brains around. But John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory full of grace and truth. So if we want the personification of the law, we see it in Jesus Christ. I could say, great peace have they which love Jesus. If I love Him, if I truly love Him, then what He does is not going to offend me. If I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, sometimes, Brother Tenney used to say, you're not submitting if you agree with what the leader or mentor or pastor tells you. True submission is when you do it when you don't agree with it. That's the test sometimes. Sometimes I think God allows things into our life that we don't get because He's trying to... He's putting a test in our life to see if we love Him the way we say we love Him. We profess it with our mouth, but will we live it with our lives? You know what? We're all just human. We all make mistakes. We all stumble. We all get bad attitudes. We all get a little... I had a lady I don't even remember where I was. She kind of... Oh, Cracker Barrel yesterday. She walks up to me at Cracker Barrel and she says, I am so sorry. And I'm like, I don't know this woman from anywhere. And I was like, what do you mean you're sorry? I don't know. She was like, what I said to you. And I'm like, me? Yeah, we were in the parking lot. I mean, this is a little old lady. Little old lady, white hair, you know, got her little cane. She's apologizing. I'm like, ma'am, whatever I did, I don't know. I'm sorry. She says, oh, no. I was, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm getting apologized. You're forgiven, you know. I don't know what you did. But we're all just human. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and she's trying to debate where we're supposed to worship. And worship is the thing, it's our expression of love to God, is our praise and our worship. Whether we do it vocally, whether we do it in song, whether we do it in our lifestyle, in our actions, in our choices, that's how we worship Him. And He said, you know, it's not really about where you are, it's about how you worship. If you worship in spirit and in truth. See, God's called each and every one of us to be worshipers. You know the whole chicken and the egg argument? Here's the thing that kind of bakes my brain a little bit, is the Word is eternal, right? It's everlasting. It's from before time began. And yet there's verses that say, clap your hands, all ye people. So if the Word is eternal, it said to clap the hands before there were hands. If it says to leap for joy, we had instructions to leap before there were legs. To shout before there was a voice. Those are the weird things I think about sometimes when I'm stuck in traffic. You know, how did that work, God? But the Word is eternal. And so the verse before my key text, verse 164 of Psalms 119, David says, 7 times a day do I praise Thee. I think David had something figured out. He said, if I'm not going to get offended, I've got to love His law. How am I going to love His law? 7 times a day, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to give Him an expression of worship, an expression of love, an expression of gratitude. 7 times a day, I'm going to let God know, I love You, Jesus. I worship You, Lord. I'm here to praise You. You see, David, he loved God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He went after God. He sought him. He wanted him. And when he said, you know what, if I'm going to be the king of Jerusalem and the king of Judah and the king over all Israel, I need God here. And the ark is over at Obed-Edom's house. So we got to go get the ark back. And when they got the ark, the history tells us it was about 6 miles from Obed-Edom's house to Jerusalem. Every six paces they stopped and they built an altar and they sacrificed to the Lord. And David would dance before the Lord and he would worship. So on that 6 mile trek, every six steps, one, two, three, four, a couple more out there. I'm not going to walk off the end. They would begin to worship. I wonder if David figured out something. If I take seven times a day and take seven praise breaks, we don't have coffee breaks at my job, but there's definitely a smoke break. And yeah, and so, you know, multiple times a day, there's a couple of people who leave the office and they go stand outside, and they take their smoke break because they think they need what's in that the nicotine to get through the day. And they're getting a little tense and they're getting a little irritable and they want that nicotine to help them through the day. Well, I thank God for earbuds because sometimes I need a praise break. Sometimes things are going at work and I just need to put a little worship in one ear and just have a little praise go up. And it might just be me and Jesus and my phone, but you know what? I've got to have a praise break because I need to get through to the next time. David said, why don't you just take about seven praise breaks a day? And that'll keep you from getting offended. That'll keep you from getting bent out of shape. It'll keep our attitude in line and our spirit adjusted accordingly. I need to take a praise break sometimes. Because sometimes things don't go like we planned them. And we need to take a praise break. I dare say there's people in this place. You've got family that you wish would come back to God. And sometimes you just need to take a praise break whether they come back to God or not today. You've been searching for a job for months and you're not sure how you're going to pay the bills. You just need to take a praise break and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to stop and worship you right now because you're still in control. I don't understand what's going on in my workplace or in my family or in my home or wherever you may have, but God, I just got to take a praise break right now and say, God, I've got to praise and I've got to let it out. I've got to shout hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for me, Lord. God, I've just got to worship you right now. Even when I don't understand it, even when I'm all tied up in knots inside, I've got to open up my voice and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. From the rising of the sun, I'm going to praise you, Lord. When it goes down on the other side, I'm going to praise you, Lord. I'm just going to stop. Time out. I need a praise break. You know why there's no plants in the desert? You can be in the Sahara in northern Africa, or you can be in Antarctica, where it's a whole lot colder than it is anywhere else in the States. The reason there's no plant life is because there's no precipitation. The reason there's no precipitation is because in that ecosystem, nothing is going up into the air to create clouds. Okay? Some basic science. The water evaporates. We got clouds, and it rains or snows or whatever, depending on the temperature. And then there's water on the ground so that the grass grows and the trees grow and all that sort of thing. Folks, if you've been wandering in the desert and you don't know why God, you feel like God's abandoned you, and you feel like every time you try, you take one step forward and you go three steps back. And every time you run it right into a brick wall. And you feel like there's just, stop and take a praise break. Send some vapor up. Send something up into the heavenlies, and before long the clouds are going to start forming and the rains of His blessing are going to come down. You know, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Now, we in American culture, we say things like, oh, in every life a little rain must fall. Rain is kind of a negative thing. But to these in the Bible days, they were in an agricultural society. No rain meant no food. no food meant we're going to die. We need rain. And so if we want the rains to fall, we've got to offer up some praise and some worship and some blessing to the Lord God Almighty, because we need God's blessings to rain on us. We need His power to rain on us. And folks, as we move into this new facility, we're going down roads we've never gone before. We're going to be, you know what? You're going to lose your seat. When I was pastoring, you know how I would remember everybody in the church and pray for them? I would just mentally go through the rows and say, okay, I got the youth over here and Sunday school teachers and my family over here. Okay. Then up in the front, we got Brother Josh and Brother Cox, and their wives are right behind them. And then we got the Lord. And you can just go through the church and you know who's sitting where, because we're creatures of habit. And give it about 3 weeks and you're all going to have new seats and they're going to be where you sit. Okay? It'll be okay. But that's just a minor thing. You know what? We could go and Sister Thompson, I'm not trying to be a prophet. I'm using this as an example. I do not want this to happen. We could go and something could go wonky with the sound. Because the Lord knows if something's going to go crazy, That's what happens. You can have all the sound checks you want. Stuff happens. You know, there's going to be something that happens in a bathroom. Something, you know, and I'm not prophesying, okay? But we can get bent out of shape. And we can say, man, what are we going to do about this? And get worried about that. And how are we going to fix this? And how are we going to fix that? And we can realize, you know what? He's in control. I'm just going to take a praise break. I'm just going to stop and lift up the Lord. If all the sound cuts out, I'm just going to shout hallelujah, and I'm going to keep worshiping God. There's something I've noticed when churches either build a new building or they move, or when it's a home mission church, it's a new church plant, people get a little uncomfortable in the first service there. And if we let that sort of, this is a new place and it's a little different and we're all a little... You know, it takes a while to kind of, it can take a while to kind of break through and have church like we used to have church. You know what I'm saying? So why don't we just make up in our mind that before we even get there, that from the very first service we're there, it don't matter what happens, I'm going to take a praise break. I'm just going to love the Lord. I'm going to sing with all I got. I'm going to clap. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise the Lord, because He is good and His mercy endureth forever. And it doesn't matter what happens in my life. I might have 3 flat tires and, you know, and my toast was moldy. I'm going to just praise the Lord. I'm just going to give God honor. I'm going to give Him glory. I want to give Him praise. Lloyd George was a... British statesman, politician, during World War I, and he was about 5 feet 6 inches tall. Not a very tall guy. If you're not sure how 5 foot 6 inches tall is, it's about this tall from the platform. So he was in America, and an American journalist, you know, we're a little abrupt and we ask direct questions, and they asked him if his lack of height inhibited him as a politician and statesman during the war. And the story goes, Mr. George straightened himself up to his full 5 feet 6 inches. And he said, in Britain, we measure the stature of a man from the neck up. Being a person who is of an equivalent height, I kind of like that. But you know, our vocation, Ephesians 4 and 1 says that it's our vocation. It's our job to worship God. That's what we're here for. Amen. We're here to worship Him. And you know what the measure of this church is going to be? We can just get, you know what, we can and I pray the day, when the day comes, we have thousands. Yeah, I said that in plural. Thousands. Amen. But the measure, one of the measures, true measures, the Bible says the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The true measure of the church is not how many we have in the building, but are we worshiping God the way God wants us to worship God? Are we praising Him? Are we loving Him? Are we giving Him glory? Are we giving Him honor? Are we giving Him praise? You know, we're going to be on unfamiliar roads. Most of you know I Uber on the weekend, and I drive people all over the place. And I was, I got a request, and I was somewhere on the north side, and I was trying to find where this person was following the GPS. And I got into an industrial area, and there wasn't very many lights in that area. And there was two large warehouses, and it wanted me to make a left down a gravel road. I was like, well, Jesus, it's you and me. I hope it's a good fare. And so I turn down the gravel road, and I see a car without its lights on. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to give this Prius a Ferrari anointing, because I'm about to get out of here. I don't know. And then as I'm beginning to turn around, I notice it's a cop car. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. So I pull up and I roll my window down, and he rolls his window down. He goes, what are you doing? And I show him my phone. I said, it says I got an Uber pickup back here. He goes, no, you don't. And so I turned around and I punched in my phone. Dialed up a little, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? And all the way out of there, I'm just, the Lord is, I can't sing, bear with me. My light and salvation, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? And I'm like, I'm taking a praise break right now. Because if I'm going out, I'm going out with Jesus. Folks, there's times we get a little, we don't know where we're at or what we're doing. We just got to get a hold of what God, we got to trust Him when we can't figure out what else is going on. Stand with me, if you will, if the musicians will come. So this is how we're going to close out this service tonight. We're just going to take a praise break. We all worship God in different ways. Some of us are more demonstrative than others. Some of us are louder than others. You may not want to sit right in front of me in church. Sometimes I get a little loud. I apologize, but, well, I don't really apologize because it's biblical. So just sit somewhere else. But we're going to praise the Lord. And you know what? I'm preaching. And I can think of what Monday's got going on. And I'm not real excited about Monday. I'll be honest. In my job, the first Monday of the month is never a good day at work. And so I don't really want to go to bed tonight, because I know once I go to bed, that means next thing I know is I'm waking up and I'm going to work. So I'm going to stay up and do something else. You know, I'm going to do the dishes. I don't know. But sometimes life comes at us. And we've just got to take a praise break. We all know Jesus isn't a jerk, okay? But sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we let our emotions. You know what's funny? What's funny is this world will tell you to follow your heart. But the Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked. It's deceitful. It will lie to you. So if you follow your heart, good luck. I'm going to try to follow the Word. Because if I love His law, if I love Him, there's no reason to get offended. There's no reason to get bent out of shape. I can trust that He's going to take care of it. Even when I've done my best, even when I've failed, even when I've messed up, I can come to Him and His grace is still sufficient. So as we sing, you can praise God right there. You can come to the front. But we're just going to take a praise break. And we're going to close out this service with some worship and praise to Almighty God. Jesus, we love You. We adore You. And we bless Your name. God, we're going to take a praise break right now. Hallelujah. Oh, we've gathered into this house to lift you up. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it, church. Let your voice out.